welcome to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hi, this is Janet Robert with you, who's here today, sitting in for the 4 o'clock show. Welcome to AM 950. And also, I wanted to say, I give a shout out today. Governor Dayton proclaimed today Paul Simon Day. And it's a special day for me, too, because I'm a new grandma. And tonight my kids are going out on their first exciting night out to see Paul Simon in concert. And it's even more fun, not only to spend the time alone with my grandchild, but also to know that the kids of my son's generation love the same music we did, too, even though it was Simon and Garfunkel back then. So anyway, congratulations to Paul Simon, to be still touring, and I hope everybody who's going tonight has a wonderful time. So today on our show, we have a couple really interesting guests. I'm bringing on the Congressional District 5 chair to talk to us about that race and the upcoming endorsing convention, and also the St. Paul City Council race, which has had an endorsing convention too, which I think has been a little bit controversial in my mind. The Star Tribune's been covering up. I'd love to talk more about that. We'll be talking about that a little later in the show. But first, I'd like to welcome Brandon Schorsch. Hi, Brandon.
Hey there.
Thank you for coming on the show. Brandon is the chair of Congressional District 5. And just to bring everybody up to date first, of course, who's in and who's out? Well, of course, in the Congressional District race, we have Margaret Anderson Kelleher, who was our endorsed candidate for governor the first time Governor Dayton ran, and she did not win the primary against Governor Dayton. But she served many years as a very great legislator. I'm a big fan of Margaret Anderson Kelleher. Also, Senator Patricia Torres-Ray is in the race. She has served Minneapolis well in her district, and again, is a well-respected senator, as well as Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who served the North Side, a great musician, a great champion for the needs on the North Side. And then our newer representative, Ilhan Omar, she's a first-time freshman legislator representing the area near the University of Minnesota, and the first Somali woman elected to the legislature. And then we also have then a guy who ran as Republican last time, Frank Drake. And we also have Jamal Abdullahi, and I'm not really that familiar with Jamal. He's new to me. But those are the candidates. He's also an immigrant running as a Somali, running as a progressive Democrat. So we have quite a crowded race right now. But it looks like they've announced in CD5 that they're going to have an endorsing convention. And so I brought on Brandon to talk to us a little bit about that. Brandon, can you bring everybody up today on that convention?
Absolutely. So the convention is going to be next Sunday, June 17th.
Now that's Father's Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I wanted to hear more about that race because it really shocked me. I know. Tell us about that decision-making that went into holding it on that date, for example. That's just a week and a couple days away, right?
Absolutely. So we had to weigh a lot of things. You know, Keith Ellison running for attorney general was also a surprise to myself and my committee. And our duty as the party, as the organization, is to make sure that, you know, our party has endorsements or at least allows our delegates to make that decision about endorsements. So you know, the moment I got the news, I started consulting members of my executive committee, kept a watching eye on all the candidates who were filing and followed up with all of them to express my intention of holding a convention. So what we had to look at was the DFL Constitution and Bylaws requires a 10-day postmark notice. We also were looking at a June 29th start to early voting and a number of important days, holidays, and festivals that were coming up. They're important to many members of our community in CD5 and throughout the state and the nation. So there were a few barriers that we had to look at, and we had to really consciously weigh a lot of different factors. So on June 16th, it's the Juneteenth celebration in Minneapolis. It's also the day after Eid, or it could also be Eid, depending on some communities' personal observations. Eid is the end of Ramadan, and Ramadan being based off the lunar cycle can vary a little bit. And with immigrant communities, many folks will observe based off of what their home countries start Ramadan with. And we also were looking at the weekend of Pride. This convention is going to be a little longer than a weekday evening would be able to have. So unfortunately, Father's Day ended up being the only date that we could do to be able to respect the candidate's time to be able to contact as many voters as possible in a very truncated race.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Father's Day had to give way to Pride, Ramadan, and Juneteenth.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of people travel out of town for Father's Day. A lot of people. They're heading to North Dakota, South Dakota. They're heading to mm-hmm. the rural areas. They're heading from St. Paul to Minneapolis. Like, are people still going to be in town for Pride and for Juneteenth and for Ramadan? People work on Ramadan mm-hmm. during Ramadan. But so who made this decision? I mean, who was the decision makers for the day? And what? And who's behind it? Who wants an endorsing convention? Who doesn't? Who made the decision on the exact date?
So the decision on an exact date was a coordination between myself, several members of my executive committee, and the state party. I kept in close loop with them. The reasoning for why we're pursuing an endorsing convention is to allow our delegates to go and make the decision whether this organization will endorse or not. You know, the party is more than just a name brand. It's a amalgamation of volunteers and people who are very passionate about this work. So the decision that I made as chair was that we could have a small committee go and decide not to endorse at all, or we could go and have a much, much larger pool of delegates go and make that decision whether they would like an endorsement or not. And, you know, there's benefits to having an endorsement for both candidates and the party. You know, mm-hmm. from the party side, it's very important to go and have a fully endorsed slate of candidates from the bottom of the ticket to the top, because that allows our coordinated efforts to have a lot more magnitude. It allows volunteers to go and not have to kind of split their time, and they could help multiple candidates at once in an easier fashion. There's a lot of financial benefits for both the party and candidates to have endorsement.
So let's make sure our listeners know who's eligible to show up. This is coming up Sunday, June 17th, a week from this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Noon to 6 p.m., correct?
Roughly. You know, it's always hard to determine when a convention will end. I'm hoping it'll be a quicker convention, and we're looking to go and make sure that we can be as respectful as possible to the fact that people, it's a big day where people want to be with their families, many of the days that we had to wait between.
Okay, so I understand it's at Barton Open Elementary, 4237 mm-hmm. Colfax Avenue South. And who's eligible to show up? All the people.
So the people who are able to vote would be anyone who was a Congressional District 5 delegate this year or alternate if they were upgraded, and that would be at the convention. So an easier way of saying that is if you are from the 5th Congressional District and you were a state delegate or alternate, you are a voter at this convention. DFL events are always open to the public. We booked a venue with a little bit more seating than we have total number of delegates and alternates. So there will be some seating for guests, but I can't guarantee it.
Right.
And I believe media will probably have a little bit of a priority given that, you know, they're quite interested as well.
Well, so priority to media. Well, that's interesting. I hope you're prior to the alternates, because as I understand, so if you were elected at the precinct caucuses to be either mm-hmm. delegate or an alternate to the CD5 convention and state convention, if you were elected, you have the right to show up. Hopefully there'll be seating for you. Whether or not you did go to the CD convention or whether or not you went to the state convention doesn't matter. If you were elected on precinct caucus night, you're eligible to show up, right?
So CD5 delegates are actually elected from their Senate district level.
I apologize.
So if you were, there's the many
That's
layer
right.
cakes.
That's right. If you were elected,
so
I apologize. If you were elected at your state district convention to go on to the congressional or the, you know, this is the question I really have, and I know we have very little mm-hmm. time yet, but you know, I see the purpose of the endorsing conventions to help narrow the field, especially when you got a race against Republicans. That isn't the situation here. This primary is tantamount to the general election in the fall because of the CD5. Many people who were elected as delegates and alternates, they did not know this was on the ballot. People were running because mm-hmm. they wanted to have a say in the governor's race, probably, most likely, and some state Senate races that where there were going to be endorsing conventions. No, I guess they were already. So that's not it. It would strictly pretty much be the statewide races at the state convention would be their only interest at the time, because there wasn't anything mm-hmm. else. So now you have a congressional district. All those people are shut out. And you know the endorsing convention means a lot of money. and time and effort for the candidate. So what, there's been so much criticism lately of these endorsing conventions. Why not just leave it up to the primary, not put the finger on the scale when so few people have a say in these endorsing conventions? It's not easy to become one of those delegates.
You know, I'd absolutely agree that it's not easy, and it's by far from a perfect process. I grew up in primary states, and I'm actually newer to this process. In primary states, it's near impossible to even get involved, and then many times party units actually are endorsing, and state parties are endorsing people before primaries, except there's no avenue for just everyday folks to get involved and to become those delegates, to become those people who have the say. And our caucus process certainly needs a lot of reforms. I think it needs to be looked at from a lens where we start bringing in new technologies, making sure that it's not, we don't imagine it as just a couple hours, you know, in a crowded classroom or gym, and start really looking at it as a mechanism for community conversation. So the reason why this endorsing convention was called is, I view things through the lens of delegates are they are all elected representatives of their neighborhoods, of their communities, and reflect an activist base that has come out and that is excited to volunteer for either candidates, campaigns, the party, resolutions, or issues they care deeply about. And we operate in two-year cycles in the DSL. And when you're elected a delegate, when we have, let's call this an emergency scenario like this, that happens between these cycles, those previous sets of delegates are called upon help make decisions.
Yeah, I understand that. But
tell me
who wanted it and who didn't want it. I assume you consulted with all the candidates. Who wanted you to have an endorsing convention? Who didn't?
So I would say I don't think it's appropriate to go and call out individual candidates one way or the other. That's their prerogative to pursue a convention or not. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to say anything about individuals.
Do you think really that the delegates, I hope they have the time in a week to really bring themselves up to speed. Are you guys going to be having any debates before then? There's a lot of candidates that are probably just gearing up their campaigns. Mm-hmm. Are they going to have the time to really be able to become familiar with the candidates? That's one of my big concerns, having been through many conventions and seeing people pretty well ill-informed about the candidates. What's the plan for that? I went to your website. You don't have links yet to the candidates' campaigns websites.
Absolutely. So as campaigns are also getting their own websites up, and CD5 is actually fixing its website due to the DFL launching a new web suite that erased all of the local unit website a few weeks ago. But what we're going to be pursuing is we're going to be having an extended candidate forum at the beginning. Oftentimes, their ACT conventions are quite short because we're having to do so much other work, constitution, bylaws, election
of
local officers. So we're going to have an extended period at the beginning of that. And I'm starting to work with my arrangements team, and we're hoping to start working with the candidates to have a meet and greet period that is during registration. So, you know, when people are standing in line, really making sure that they have the opportunity to meet folks, the candidates and folks from their campaigns, because it's not an ideal situation with the time, but perhaps they can still have those conversations, get to know people, and make that decision if they want this body to do an action.
And one of the decisions they can make is to have no endorsement, correct? That's usually
absolutely
appropriate.
It is always their prerogative.
And so they can have, usually sometimes it's after the fifth ballot, it depends on the rules, you can have a motion for no endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and we'll be reviewing the rules closely with our rules committee and with the candidates to make sure we have something that is good for the entire body and recognizes kind of this change in circumstances.
Okay, Brandon, I really appreciate you coming on. Okay, everybody, you better get ready. Put aside your Father's Day plans, and all of you show up and for your candidates and get out to vote on Sunday in your congressional district convention. Good luck. Thanks for joining us today, Brandon, CD5 chair. Thanks again for being here. We'll be right back with AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Kara Eastman on running for Congress from the left in Nebraska, Richard Wolff on capitalism, alienation, and economics, Democratic strategist Mike Lux and activist Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner on their new books, and Dr. America Talks Medicare for All. All this and more on The Zero Hour every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about what I call a persistent idealist, James Meredith, the first black person to enroll in the University of Mississippi in 1962. Before it was all done, he had brought down the full weight of the federal government to enforce his right to attend Ole Miss. Wow. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome back. This is Janet Robert with AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And today I just wanted to continue to talk a little bit about endorsing conventions. Maybe later, if we have time, you can call in at 952-946-6205 to tell us how you feel about the endorsing conventions that have been going on. Again, it's 952-946-6205. That's our call-in number. But I was quite intrigued when I was reading the Star Tribune last week, where June 6th was a story. St. Paul 4th Ward City Council race reflects a changing DFL. And there was a picture of Shirley Erstad and Mitra Nelson on the front of it. And it said, this election for this new 4th Ward seat, special election, represents an old and new guard of an evolving DFL party that could shift the dynamics of the city council leadership. So I said, okay, what does that mean? Let's see. There's this older woman. She's 51. She's younger than me. Spring chicken. There's a 32-year-old. This is, what are they talking about, old and new guard? And then they quote the mayor who says, he says in here, where was it? Carter often stated goal of making St. Paul a city that works for everyone. So Nelson's message echoes Carter's oft-stated goal of making St. Paul a city works for everyone. And I thought, So what are they saying here? Who's the old guard? Who's the new guard? I don't know much about this. But it looked to me like this Erstad, Shirley Erstad, had incredible credentials. She'd worked, lived in the city for 25 years, was involved in all kinds of ways, started following this race. You know, she'd been elected to the district council. She'd been an advocate for many causes. She'd worked with the Parks Commission. And Mitra Nelson had moved there 2 years ago. She worked for Congressman Keith Ellison. And she said she moved to St. Paul because she couldn't find housing in Minneapolis. So now suddenly she wants to run for this seat that opened up. So they had an endorsing convention, and Shirley Erstad lost. Mitra Nelson won. She was endorsed before the convention by Keith Ellison. She was endorsed by Melvin Carter. Of course, Keith Ellison was Melvin Carter's earliest supporter. So I was quite intrigued when a couple days later there was a letter to the editor in the Star Tribune today, which showed up, which really caught my eye. And it was by Tom Collins, a former reporter and editor at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, now a freelance writer. And he says that I agree with the headline that this represents the old and the new, but I think the perspective is actually reversed. He says, a St. Paul election, he quotes the article, he says, the implication is that old and new represents the ages of the two female candidates in the race. And that's what I took from it, too. He says, but the younger candidate represents the old guard, and the older candidate represents the new DFL, which really intrigued me. I think this is really fascinating, because we often at conventions, I've been to many of them, and I'm sure you have too, where whenever there's young people show up, everyone's like, oh, I'd like them to be a delegate. But the young people don't always have the same understanding, history, knowledge that the older people do, but the older people are shut it aside because gotta get the young people involved. So anyway, he talked about, I was reminded of the primary race between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Sanders seemed to tap into the pulse of mainstream America, but couldn't fight the party's hand-picked nominee. And he goes on to say, don't get me wrong, I support Mayor Carter, but I don't necessarily believe I should vote for Nelson because he says so. She seemed to be the handpicked the delegate of Mayor Carter and also of Congressman Keith Ellison. As a matter of fact, it turned out that when they did the endorsing convention there, they didn't allow the people who had been selected at the caucus this year. They went back to the 2017 delegates who had all pretty much gone to that convention and had 90% of them supported Melvin Carter. They went back to that group of delegates to decide who should be endorsed this year. Seems pretty fishy to me. But in the end, of course, the newcomer, she got the endorsement. So what Tom Collins went on to say in his letter to the editor is, the St. Paul City Council is no place for beginners, regardless of their potential, particularly in these difficult times when the city is and has been struggling financially. I thought this was a great article, and so I've invited on today Shirley Erstad. I've invited her on to talk a little bit more about what she's been doing in St. Paul and why didn't she get the endorsement. Is she the old guard or is she the new guard? I think that we're going to find that out real soon, so stick around, and we'll be talking to Shirley Erstad from St. Paul. This is Janet Robert with AM 950, The Voice of Minnesota.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Your radio station for The Resistance, The David Pakman Show, weeknights at 9 on AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, congratulations, we made it to another Friday. We're all still here. The news, of course, remains very weird. We'll do our regular Friday segments and have time for you as well as we wrap up the week.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 62. Saturday, cloudy with a high near 80. Sunday, sunny with a high near 81. And Monday, partly cloudy with a high around 83.
The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. Their menu features dishes ranging from vegetarian sandwiches to fresh burgers, and the Co-op Creamery Cafe builds on the relationships that Seward Co-op has cultivated for more than 40 years. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Janet Robert, your host this afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Today we're talking about endorsing conventions, endorse candidates. What does it all mean for the Democratic Party? I mean, I'm beginning to ask, is its time over? I've been to endorsing state conventions, my first one back in 2000. I've been to many of them, state conventions, congressional conventions, and I'm beginning to sort of lose my faith. You know, here at AM 950, we're not apologists for the Democratic Party. We are progressives thinking of always what's the best way to get something done. And so today I wanted to invite in Shirley Erstad, who is running for the St. Paul City Council Ward 4 seat. She's running as an unendorsed candidate against the endorsed candidate, Mitra Nelson. Welcome, Shirley.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I know you're probably a bit out busy door knocking.
I have been, and I've been getting lots of people calling me up and sending me messages because this is an interesting race. The fact that it's the only one that's happening in the city because it's a special election. Most times, all of the city council members are up for election. So this particular one is drawing a lot of interest from around the city, and also because this is a swing seat on the city council. So I think people realize what this seat means, and they're reaching out to me and wanting to talk to me.
Now, the special election is actually, the election for the seat is actually contemporaneous with the primary, right? The actual election is with the August primary?
That's correct. So August 14th. So when people go into the voting booth, they will get two different ballots. They'll get the primary ballot, and then they will have a special election ballot that is just this seat on that ballot.
So you call this a swing seat on the city council. Tell me about that. Why do you call this a swing seat?
Well, there have been various votes where the votes have been 3-4. And so there are 7 seats on the city council. And I can give you some examples of when I have testified at the city council and where the vote has been 3-4. And I would have voted to make it 4-3 in favor of more transparency in city government and getting more community benefits for our community when we're making development decisions. Those kinds of votes, as well as when things are put before the city council. And at that particular meeting, the city council is being told either by the president of the city council, department heads, or in some cases both, that they need to vote that night and can't make any amendments or changes. And I just think that's wrong. I think that the city council needs to be an independent branch of our city government. It's the only check and balance we have. And that I would be an independent voice that would stand up and vote so that we could stop that particular process that's been happening that basically renders the city council powerless.
Well, so no, I have to tell you, I have served on a city council, a small city, Oak Park Heights, near Stillwater. And fortunately, we didn't have endorsements. It was nonpartisan. You know, I ran with a group of, I don't know, was there 5 of us running for 2 seats? And I'm glad I didn't have to go through this. But I do know what it's like to deal with staff. Staff can be very persuasive, and they do the homework for the city council members. So sometimes the city council members, I'll be honest, there's some of them don't want to do their homework. They don't really read anything. They show up at a meeting or a staff meeting. The staff tells them what they should have read or learned about. They don't ask questions, and then they vote. So I'm pretty sensitive to this issue. It does concern me a lot about government. If we're going to have truly representative government, everybody's got to do their homework. But tell me a little bit more about what you've, you know, been doing in the city as a volunteer first, or how have you been involved? What credentials do you really have to run for the city council to begin with?
Sure. Well, so I moved here 25 years ago with my husband and 2 young children. And through just living in a city, we participated in many of the things that families do. Early childhood family education with my kids. As a former librarian, I know the importance of going to the libraries. I take my kids to the public library. They participated in community education. They were synchronized swimmers through that program. We went to rec centers when one of my daughters played soccer there. They, like often do, needed parent coaches. And I said, well, I don't know how to do this, but I put my baby on my back and I learned how to be a soccer coach. You know,
I had the same experience one time. I signed my son up for baseball and they said, you're the coach. I'm like, what? I don't know anything about baseball. And they said to me, don't worry. You show up and you announce you're the coach, all the fathers will step in. And it worked like a charm. All the guys were like, you can't be the coach. So I got out of that job. But you didn't. Too bad.
I didn't. Although I will say my daughter didn't last too long as a soccer player because she was pretty young and she was more interested in picking the dandelions off the soccer field than actually running around after the ball. But so those kinds of things where, you know, we raised our family here in St. Paul. They went to the St. Paul Public Schools. I volunteered in their classrooms. I went on field trips with them. And then just as a community volunteer, my husband and I were both international exchange students in high school. And so we felt like it was important to give back to our community. So we've been volunteers with the International Exchange Program, hosting students, as well as supporting the host parents as volunteer groups there. And I was also a volunteer with Children's Home Society. I mentored teenage mothers.
Oh, that's really cool. Boy, these young women need all the help they can get, don't they? That's neat. That's really neat.
Well, thank you. You know, as a mom myself, I recognize that it is really a tough job. And sometimes people just don't get the support that they deserve and that they need. And I read about how that was something that I could do. And so I signed up, and after training and support, I was paired up with 2 different moms at 2 different times, and we just spent time together, and I was a role model and just helped support them. So
oh,
that was
great.
A very worthwhile volunteer experience.
So now, you also got much more involved, I guess. Now it says that you were been executive director of the Friends of the Parks and Trails Council. So how did you end up, you know, besides really knowing the city inside out, having lived there and volunteered in all these capacities, you know, how did you end up interfacing with the city council? Tell me about that and what work have you done?
Sure. So about 4.5 years ago, the Friends of the Parks and Trails of St. Paul and Ramsey County, it's a nonprofit organization that started in 1985. Their original executive director was retiring, and so they were looking for a new executive director. So I took that position, and I should say that my first job out of college was with a U.S. senator in his D.C. office. And then
I hope it wasn't a Republican.
It was a Republican. I'm a farm kid from South Dakota, and South Dakota can often send Republicans to Congress. However, that was back in the 1980s, and so today he would be far more moderate. And in fact, he ran for his old seat as an independent a few years ago, having said that the Republican Party left him behind.
Has been a Republican state. So back when you were a little kid, you did that. Okay, great.
That's right. So when I took this job, it really reawakened some of the political interests that I had. And as part of the executive director leadership is to testify at the planning commission, at different committee meetings, as well as to the city council when there are parks issues that are before the city. So,
did you get in any debates or disagreements with the city council on these park issues?
Well, you can see me on YouTube. All you have to do is Google Shirley Erstead testifies on YouTube, and it'll pop up. Shirley Erstead testifies, and you spell my last name Erstad. And that was when I testified last fall with the soccer parkland dedication agreement, meaning that when they're putting in development and redevelopment in the city, that we're adding enough green space for our neighbors and or paying a fee. So I had a question about
if people aren't aware of that, that's a really important thing. You know, whenever there's new development, most all cities now require a developer to set aside cash or land so we can increase our park systems, which are critical to making cities livable. And we need the more green space we can get, the better.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And I worked on that ordinance back in 2015 when it was being revised. And so I know the ordinance pretty well. And I was looking at the documents that the city was entering into on that particular agreement for the park at the soccer stadium. And I had serious questions about
this new U.S. Bill McGuire Polad soccer stadium going up in St. Paul. One of my least favorite new government handouts. Okay. Yeah. You got involved in that one. That debacle.
$22 million of public subsidy going into that infrastructure. And we did not even require a community benefits agreement. So when we're negotiating these agreements, when we're giving that kind of public subsidy, I firmly believe that we need to be getting community benefit out of it. For instance, I would have insisted that if we're going to have the noise and we're going to have the traffic from the stadium, that we're also going to have the corporate headquarters move there, because there's plenty of development area. They would be good paying jobs, people there year round, and they would be supporting our local businesses and be an anchor tenant in that development that we're really
The corporate headquarters for this new soccer team?
For Minnesota United, They're currently in Golden Valley. And so, you know, when St. Paul is negotiating this type of stuff, we also need to make sure that we are getting a real, real benefit for our local community. And because at this point, the soccer stadium will be used for professional soccer 18 days of the year. So for 2.5 weeks, there will be something happening at the soccer stadium. Otherwise, there's not going to be anything happening there unless the team decides to hold an event in the park that we gave them $250,000 to plant trees for,
what did the city, what parkland dedication or cash did the city get from this new soccer stadium that's owned and run by millionaires or multimillionaires? Are they billionaires? Not sure. What did we get? What did the city of St. Paul get with our parkland dedication for that soccer stadium?
Well, that pretty much remains to be seen, because that was one of my questions with that document, is that it says that they're leasing the property. And so I was questioning if that was even in compliance with state statute, because state statute says you have to satisfy the parkland dedication at the time of permitting, and their contract says they don't have to do anything until they actually own the property. So I think that the agreement itself is still questionable. And three of the city council members agreed with me when I testified in that regard. And that was when the president of the city council at that time, Russ Stark, And three of the city department heads all told the city council that they had to vote on the agreement as is, or else they would be breaking other agreements. So even though I raised serious concerns about the contract and three of the city council people agreed with me, it was voted as is. So it remains to be seen exactly how that's all going
to
play out.
So, yeah, it's Russ Stark's seat you're trying to replace, isn't it? I mean, he's going on to work for Mayor Melvin Carter. So it sounds to me like the city didn't get any parkland actually dedicated to them. They worked out a lease agreement, so they're going to be leasing this land from Bill McGuire and his buddies?
Bill McGuire is actually leasing it from Rick Burdoff. He's the one who owns that property. And so the city calls it a privately owned public space. And so Bill McGuire and his group will be able to program it, meaning they can hold events there and make money 363 days out of the year. And the city's benefit is that they get to program it for free for 2 days. So we threw in $250,000 for them to plant trees there. We threw in $22 million to the infrastructure for that whole development area, and we get to program the park for free 2 days a year.
Okay, well, we're gonna come back in a minute. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the fun conversations you had with, if you got a chance to talk to Bill McGuire. This is Janet Robert talking to Shirley Erstad, the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM 950.
We ducked inside the doorways, thunder went crashing.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
The Electric Fetus turns 50 this week. Now through Sunday, June 10th, take 20% off your purchase store-wide. New and used vinyl, CDs and DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and more. Save 20% off during Electric Fetus's 50th anniversary sale. Some restrictions apply. 20% off is good in the store at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis as well as Duluth. Check out www.electricfetus.com for 50th anniversary events this week.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Kara Eastman on running for Congress from the left in Nebraska, Richard Wolff on capitalism, alienation, and economics, Democratic strategist Mike Lux and activist Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner on their new books, and Dr. America Talks Medicare for All. All this and more on The Zero Hour every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is ready for the cold, serving seasonal dishes using locally sourced ingredients, Minnesota craft beers, and organic wines. Their delicious vegetarian, vegan, and omnivorous menu options are sure to satisfy. New items include the cauliflower po' boy, harvest chili, braised beef tostada, and the pork banh mi, as well as rotating seasonal vegetables and pasta. Sustaining a healthy community, you will find Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, and online at coopcreamery.co.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
The
mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. Welcome back to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And this is one of my favorite Paul Simon songs. It's a great protest song for you youngins. It's about back in Paul Simon writing about a little bit about the Berrigan brothers and about what was all going down when we were out trying to stop the wars. And now it seems like we're engaged in endless war in America. So things have got to change. We need a new guard. And I think I'm interviewing today Shirley Erstad because I think she represents the new guard, looking at this St. Paul City Council race that's going on where they've endorsed Mitra. Can't say her full name. Mitra Nelson endorsed. She was endorsed by Melvin Carter, the mayor. And Shirley Erstad said, "I've been working harder. I'm the new guard. They need me in St. Paul, so I'm going to run." So we're talking to Shirley Erstad today. Hi, Shirley. Tell us where we can find you on the internet.
Sure. So I'm at ShirleyErstad.com. So it's ShirleyErstad.com. That's my website.
Okay, great. So we got this election coming up on August 14th. So you were telling us about it. Looks like St. Paul got a bad end of the deal where they didn't actually get any parkland with this new soccer stadium, which reminds me of a really funny story. I remember when Bill McGuire donated the Gold Medal Park to Minneapolis, and he didn't really dedicate it. He actually gave it to him with a lease, so he gets it back in a number of years. So, of course, incredible development has gone up around it because who wouldn't want to be in an apartment building or a condo right next to a beautiful park? Gold Medal's a beautiful park. But a friend of mine turned to me and said, "You know, I think Bill McGuire must be in trouble because why would he suddenly get so generous?" Well, of course, right after that, we heard about his little problems with backdating stock options. So here we go in St. Paul. St. Paul's not going to own this parkland. Is that how I understand it? They're just leasing it from the owner for a period of time?
Yeah, well, Bill McGuire is still leasing it from Rick Burdoff, and so it gets even more complicated. So we'll see what ends up happening with it. And okay. I think the other important thing to note about the soccer stadium is that, you know, they are building it with their own money, which was the kind of the big selling point, but they're not having to pay any sales tax on the materials, and they will never have to pay property tax on it ever for the lifetime of the property. And in 2 years, it will become the property of the city of St. Paul. So if it succeeds, which we all hope it does, because here it is, and we want great success for it. But if it doesn't, and the team leaves, and actually the night that I testified at the city council, I turned to one of the city attorneys, and I said, "Well, what happens if they go bankrupt?" And she got a look on her face like that had never occurred to her. And she said, "Well, if they go bankrupt, we have more problems." And I thought to myself, that's exactly right. That's why I'm asking these questions. So if they actually leave, we will have a stadium and we won't have a soccer franchise because they own the soccer franchise. So we could potentially end up with a stadium and no soccer team for it.
This has never happened in Minnesota before with someone's owned the team and we just got this great stadium with nothing and threats of, we need more if you want to keep the team. Well, anyway, so you took on the city council. I'm sure that didn't make you very popular.
Well, it did with some and not so much with others. So it's actually not a surprise to me that I wouldn't be the first choice of, you know, the political insiders, because I do my homework. I ask tough questions and then I find ways to get stuff done. And so this is just one example of when I stood up and I said, look, this is the people's city. We're the taxpayers, and this is supposed to be representative government, not top-down decision-making. And I have been doing that for years, and I'm actually one of the founding members of an organization here in St. Paul that started in 2015. It's called St. Paul Strong, and it grew out of that entire thing, is that there were so many top-down decisions happening that a group of concerned citizens got together and said, we have to do something about this. So I am known for being fair and being just and being honest, and I have integrity and I do my homework. And if the city council is going to be a rubber stamp, I'm not going to be a rubber stamp. So I think it's healthiest for a city, and I love St. Paul. That's why I'm doing this. And to keep St. Paul healthy and strong and financially stable, and to get our basic city services done, like fill these amazingly huge, crazy potholes everywhere, that we need to be listening to the people. And right now, you know, the new garbage rollout has been happening. And
yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that. Tell us a little bit about that garbage rollout.
Sure. So this is another example of where the community process really didn't happen. It was a top-down decision. And now that the contract has been signed and citizens are actually finding out what it means for them, there are the conversations happening of, you know, apartment buildings or duplexes or fourplexes that have to have a container per unit. And it's going to be cluttering up alleys, and people who would share their garbage who now will no longer be able to share their garbage, or people living on a fixed income who are having their rates go up. These are all real concerns that should have been talked about before the contract was negotiated and before the contract was signed. So now we find ourselves in a position where we have a signed contract and there was no community input, that just has to stop. That's not the way to run a city, and it's not a healthy way to be a government.
What could they be doing a little bit differently to make it less top down? Has it always been this way in St. Paul?
Well, you know, I've been involved pretty much the last 4.5 years as executive director. And I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, government politics, it's politics, right? Everything is going to have somewhat of a filter. But I think there's been a real pattern in the last few years of not having real community engagement, but just checking a box. I mean, some of us have come to call it dotocracy.
Dotocracy?
Right.
Okay. Tell us about dotocracy in St. Paul. So
if you go to an advertised community meeting, it really ends up being a staff report with then visual aids around the room. That community is then invited to go and put a green colored dot on the pictures that you like and a red colored dot on the pictures that you don't like. And of course, those are predetermined choices. So there's not really like open microphone where you get to hear what your neighbor's concerned about. It's staff report, and then you go around the room and put your dots on it. So that's not really community engagement. That's pretty much telling people what you want them to choose from, and the decisions have already been made.
Okay.
So that happens a lot. So that needs to change. And I've been involved with my district council for multiple terms, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that too, where the district council will actually have real neighborhood engagement and then make a recommendation to the city council, like the sound level variance at the soccer stadium, when neighborhood had real concerns about the sound. And through the whole process of planning, we're being told that we would have our concerns addressed. And then when it came time to actually make a determination on the sound level variance, when the district council went before the city council and said, you know, don't grant a blanket variance, they said, oh, that was already decided before ground was broken.
Well,
so it's just disingenuous.
Yeah. Well, what we need is a lot more community engagement. And Shirley, I think you'll be a great part of the new guard if you're elected. Best wishes. Shirley Erstad from St. Paul, running in the Ward 4 race. This is Janet Robert. Thank you for being with us tonight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.